Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, Esther has a fantastic guest, and that is Stephen Dubrow. Stephen is the president of Primark Benefits and is a frequent speaker and teacher. A San Francisco native, he entered the retirement field in 1976 and has led Primark Benefits since 1990. Stephen frequently meets with senators, Congress members, and officials of the U.S. Department of Labor, the Treasury Department, and the IRS. He has testified before Congress and participates in the process of advocating for improvements to retirement system for small businesses in America. Esther, he sounds like an amazing guest today.
Stephen has an incredible wealth of knowledge. And as I spoke about in our podcast episode 50, what is it that most people are concerned with? It's retirement. And Stephen knows retirement planning inside and out, including the technical behind the scenes. And while for some people they go, well, why is that interesting? You're going to hear why it's so interesting. So, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today.
It is a pleasure to be here.
And before we launch, I actually want to have you give a sentence or two about what the heck do you do at Primark Benefits? What is that company about?
Well, what we do is we help people take tax dollars they would normally send to the government and instead find a way to put it into a retirement plan. And there's lots of different ways to do that. We're experts at finding those ways.
Do you work with individuals or small businesses, or who's your end client mostly?
We work in the private sector employment retirement system. So our customers are generally small businesses or mid-sized companies where employees sign up for their 401k plan or other pension programs they might have at work.
Okay. And how many pension and retirement plans are there that are accessible?
It turns out there's 24 different types of retirement plans you can have at your job. And we're experts at navigating that landscape so just the right ones are offered to those employees.
Thank you, Stephen. So that's just a little bit of background because you have to have a lot of knowledge on how this works. But what we're talking about today is the impact of COVID on retirement plans and what's been happening out there. We've heard a lot about job losses. We've seen volatility in the markets, and there's been changes due to congressional action. So, Stephen, what have you seen from your perspective as the impact on retirement plans due to COVID?
Well, the first thing I saw that was surprising was a whole lack of panic. It turns out that when this whole thing started, the stock market went down, and most people's investments are in some version of equities and stocks, and they participants did not react poorly. What can happen is that people will panic, and as soon as things get to the lowest point, they'll say, I'm giving this up and I'm going to sell. Well, we didn't see that. It just kind of like everyone learned their lesson in 2008, that sometimes the markets go up and sometimes they go down a lot, but then they come right back up. And in fact, this year, you know, the S&P 500 dropped about a third and then came right back up here a few months later. So the people that stayed put, they were rewarded and they didn't panic. We didn't see a rush of people going in to change their portfolio. We didn't see anybody, you know, really stop their deferrals because they were worried about the market performance. And the opposite occurred. There were some people who were very smart that says, oh my God, stocks are on sale. I want to buy more.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the best things about your company-sponsored retirement plan, because as I've worked with clients over the years, it's typically not the retirement portion that they're worried about. It's their taxable portion that they're worried about with market fluctuation. And it's a built-in long-term time horizon that people are comfortable with. The other thing that I often say, because I have heard people say, oh, I'm going to sell out of my 401k, 403b. Shoot, what do we all want to do? What have we had drilled into our heads since we were 8 years old? When do you buy? You buy when it's low. So what does an automatic contribution do? It automatically buys more shares at a lower price if you just have that going in. And when the market's at its high, you buy fewer shares when it's at its high if you have that fixed contribution going in. So that's great on the part of individuals. What have you seen on the part of the plan sponsors?
Plan sponsors have been very accommodative to taking on new features and new ways of people having access to their money and being able to understand the current environment and be able to talk with folks about their concerns. So we've seen plan sponsors contact us and say, let's up the level of communication we have. And we issued notices and information sheets. And there was a lot of information flowing around. Employers were quick to adopt things that Congress gave them that would help participants. And they implemented that. And they actually, it generally cost the employer some money to do those things, but they gladly did so so that everyone would have access. They knew that there were a lot of layoffs coming or a lot of problems in the community. Family members may get sick, or maybe you're now homeschooling your kids and you lost your daycare. So they really needed to react to that, and they stepped up in a big way.
So we're going to talk about all those changes brought about by the government in a moment. And just to clarify, although it may seem obvious, can you define what a plan sponsor is?
Well, that would be your employer. The people who give you your paycheck, sometimes it's the government. For most Americans, it's Main Street USA. For many Americans, it's the S&P 500 or the big contractors or maybe you have a union job. But for most people, it's just the normal Main Street kind of business.
Yeah, and I love hearing that because it is mainly the employers. And the employers are under challenge, too, in the COVID times. But I really appreciate hearing that it's one of the silver linings of this really difficult time is how much people have moved into action on behalf of others. So speaking of that, what have you seen on behalf of the government? There's been a lot of things instituted for this year.
Well, they learned 10 years ago that being responsive to the current conditions is very beneficial for the whole health of the retirement system. One of the reasons it is so focused on retirement, Congress is because in middle America, statistically, no one has any money besides what's in their house and what's in their retirement program. So I know here at Gates Pass, everybody comes in, they have wealth, but statistically, they don't really like count because most homes have only their retirement to split up along with their house. And we know that because they get divorced and then we have to help them split up the only asset they have, the only cash they have, which is in the retirement plan. So what Congress did was recognizing that people were going to be on unemployment or have extra expenses because a spouse couldn't work or whatever. They said, what are the ways we can do things to facilitate people having money? And one was they expanded the participant loan programs that were available, expanded distribution options for people wanting to take money out of their IRAs or their 401ks. And then they took a look at required minimum distributions and made lots of changes so that you weren't forced to take money out of your retirement plan at a time it was low. And so they helped us a lot by allowing us to repay those required minimum distributions, and they had them forego them for the rest of the year.
So let's take each of those one at a time. You started with loans out of 401k plans. So if you could talk a bit about that provision and loans in general out of 401ks.
Of course, you can't take a loan out of your IRA, but if your employer so allows, you can take a loan out of your retirement plan as long as you agree to pay yourself back and you pay yourself back with interest. So there's traditionally about a third of the plans in America offer loans, and usually it's a five-year loan, and usually it's got a maximum of $50,000, and the interest rate might be prime plus one or prime plus two. When the coronavirus thing hit, they said, how do we make this easier? People don't have money. Well, I know the first idea is we're going to allow every employer to defer the loan payments and have the loans re-amortized. So we're going to have a loan payment holiday for the rest of the year.
Quick question. They allowed the employer or the employee to skip their loan payments?
The employee would skip their loan payments if the employer put that provision in their plan.
Thank you.
Okay, so these are optional provisions for the employer. First of all, I should back up and say that when coronavirus rules were made, they talked about coronavirus affected individuals. So you're affected individual if you or a member of your household has been diagnosed with COVID, or you've got your hours cut because of COVID, or you're on furlough, or you have a medical problem because of it, or your kids are no longer in daycare and you have to homeschool them, experience financial consequences in any way because of COVID, either you, your spouse, or the people you live with, then you're eligible to sign off to say, yes, you're coronavirus affected. So therefore, if the plan allowed you to have a loan or distribution, you could then avail yourself of these new limits. So the $50,000 loan all of a sudden became a $100,000 loan.
Wow, that's a big change. So it's really important for individuals to be aware, just this first piece, we're going to continue, but just of this loan piece that is available and how they could qualify. And who would they speak to at their firm who could help them with this, or small business?
Yeah, generally the HR department's going to have some knowledge, but they might send you to an 800 number where there's a service center where you talk to a retirement plan expert. And the big companies have those things. And so that's who you would end up talking to help arrange it.
Okay. And so that was one that you mentioned was about the loans. Was there anything else on the loans?
Well, just that when you took your extra $50,000, or maybe it's your first loan for $100,000, you don't have to start payments until next year. So that was a great gift from Congress.
Great. So it really increased the flexibility. And next year, just in case, because these will last for a while, next year, it will be 2021, in case you're listening to this later. What about taking distributions, taking a withdrawal out of plans? Is that more possible now?
Well, yes. And some of you may have IRAs, and IRA isn't regulated by your employer, and you may have 100,000 or more in your IRA. Well, if you're affected by coronavirus, you're able to withdraw from your IRA up to $100,000, and you won't have a penalty on it, and you may or may not have taxes on it right away. So we'll talk about that in a second. But on the retirement plan side, the employers could also allow you to have a coronavirus distribution. Again, it's up to $100,000. And you would do a distribution, you certify that you're coronavirus affected, and then you'd be able to take that money. Now, what the government said was, we're not in a hurry to get your taxes on that. So first of all, we're waiving the federal penalty of 10% early withdrawal. Secondly, we're going to collect the taxes ratably over 3 years. So whatever taxes you'd owe a third of it the first year of 2020, and then 2021, and then 2022. And let's say things get better by the time of 2022, and you want to treat this coronavirus thing as a loan. Well, if you repay the distribution in 2022, you get back the taxes you paid in 20 and 2021.
So I'm just going to go over that again. So from IRAs, typically you can't take out of your IRA without a penalty before age 59 and a half, right?
Right.
And so what this provision allowed, and this was all in the CARES Act, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. That you can take out up to, is there a limit, did you say, or any amount?
You could take any amount up to $100,000.
Up to $100,000. And so you can take that out. And this year, A, if you're under 59 and a half, no penalty. B, the taxes on it can be spread over 3 years, 2020, 2021, and 2022. That's a lot of 20s. And then if you get to 2022 and you say, shoot, you know, everything's good, I'm going to put the whole $100,000 back, and then you get a credit, or you get a refund of all those taxes?
Is right. You'd have to refile your 2020 and 2021 taxes, okay. But there'll be a form that they're going to give you, an 8915-E, where it prepares you to be able to do all that.
Wow. So that's a huge change. Again, these are not the things that are that easily digestible, even if you see them or read about them in the news stories. So this is great, Stephen, that you're laying this out so clearly.
Let me just, some small business owners may have cash flow problems right now and may have a retirement plan. I've seen a lot of our plan sponsors come to us and say, you know, I'd like to take the $100,000 distribution so I can use it to make payroll or you know, other purposes, and I plan on paying it back 2 years from now. So it's being used not only by the little guys, but also by the employers to help with the general overall health of the business.
Just to keep it going and keep it afloat.
Right. I do want to say that if you live in California, there is still a penalty of 2.5% for early withdrawal. So California did not participate in this great gift.
So this is one of those things with always with tax laws. You'll hear about the federal tax, but you always have to check if your state is compliant. If they've, come in, not compliant. What is the word? Is
whether it's synced up.
Yeah. It's another word I'm not thinking of it. But right. So it's so important to reach out for professional advice on these things. And then the other thing you mentioned was the required minimum distributions.
Well, last December, our president signed something called the SECURE Act. And we've been pushing for a long time to get the age of required distributions pushed up. So the IRS doesn't collect taxes on any of this money along the way. So eventually they want to start getting their tax dollars. So traditionally it's been 70 and a half was when you had to start taking some of the money out. Well, in December, we pushed that up to 72, but it only applied to certain individuals, you know, depending on when they were started. So what happened with the CARES Act, which came along in, you know, February, March, they said, okay, well, for the rest of the year, we're suspending almost all required minimum distributions. Okay, so let's say if you're on a regular pension where you get a monthly payment, that's not affected by this change. You're still going to have to take your monthly payments. If you have an IRA or a 401k plan, 403b plan, where you're getting required minimum distributions, you get the holiday for the year. And then if, let's say, in January you took your payment and you said, and then they came along with this law later that said, oh, it's not required. Well, you have a chance now to repay that money to your IRA or to your qualified plan and undo it so that you won't be taxed on it. And so you get the money back in the market before the end of the year, and hopefully it would grow back, you know, before it all popped back up again.
And it's one of the things, Stephen, on that we're looking at for a number of our clients, and it's going through on a case by case. But I have to say, this is one of the benefits of having an engaged advisor on board already before these changes hit. None of us can predict coronavirus or tax law changes. We know that tax law changes will occur over someone's lifetime. But in terms of, we're already geared up, we're ready to go, we can do the paperwork and help unwind it if that's what we collectively decide to do with our clients. Some clients are saying, no, I'm going to keep it. I was planning for the taxes and my children really need extra help right now, so I'm going to give it to them. And others there's always gray areas, right, Stephen? It's not always like yes or no. You can put part of it back.
So one of the most complicated things in the world is your circumstances and a required minimum distribution. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got different facts and circumstances at different date of birth and certain laws that sunset and others that kick in. And so, yeah. So really it's not something that the average person can figure out by themselves. And in fact, when you call an 800 number for your investment, wherever they're keeping track of the money, the person there is not a retirement plan expert. They're good at answering the phone and moving money around, but asking them, well, what is the law and how does it apply to me? They haven't a clue, so they're making up an answer in general. So you have to get yourself a good advisor who's gonna involve either a CPA or a retirement plan expert like mm-hmm. us that can say, yes, this is how it applies to you. And in fact, even with all this stuff that happened to make required minimum distributions not applicable to anybody, there's still a small little teeny tiny pocket of people that it still does apply to. And it's just, everything is facts and circumstances, and you have to have an open mind and go see your advisor and make sure you get the right advice.
Yeah, and that your advisor has a good network of others, because we cannot keep track of it all either. And that's one of the reasons that a network of really smart colleagues like Stephen is so important. So Stephen, there's, you know, we're talking about deadlines now and extensions. Can you talk a little bit more about the deadlines people need to have in mind?
Well, the first one is, if you took a required minimum distribution this year and you want to repay it because you want to keep the money in your retirement plan and not pay the taxes, you have until August 31st to pay that money back. So mm-hmm. put that on your calendar, go to the bank or wherever it is, write a check here in the next couple of weeks.
And I'm going to pause you for a sec, because probably the time this podcast comes out, it'll either be just that time or just past. But keep that in mind. It's good to know.
Okay. The second deadline is that if you're involved in owning a small business or a medium-sized business in California, you need to understand that if you don't have a retirement plan, the state of California wants to give you one, and it starts in September. So by September 30th, if you have 100 or more employees, you need to register with the state or and tell them you have a retirement plan, or you need to turn to the people that give you Caltrans and the DMV to have them run your retirement program for you.
And if you got that, there was a little, just a hint of sarcasm there about those two entities. I know, Eric, you are not in California, but Caltrans is the roads and highways and all of that. And the DMV, well, we all know that's the Department of Motor Vehicles. And so do you want those running your retirement plan? So, and that is for employers.
Employers have to have to automatically enroll their employees. So your normal restaurant that doesn't have a retirement plan because people are transient and they don't usually save, they're going to automatically take money out of their checks and send them off to where California says to send it.
Good thing to be aware of. What else is important for 2020 in terms of these changes that just apply to this year to date?
Well, if you're an employer, there's all kinds of other deadlines that we don't have to go into really because of when this comes out, but there are extensions of when you have to put in money for your employees and when you have to make pension contributions, and certain tax filings were delayed. And so we have a whole bunch of deadlines coming up in September and October 2020.
Yeah, and I think you have said, you know, even though this time is all of these changes, what's it been like for Primark Benefits?
We prepared ourselves for an onslaught of becoming a retirement deaccumulation company. We thought, you know, when the first thing we saw was that the federal government, in their infinite wisdom, decided that this whole Family Medical Leave Act should be expanded to include companies that have 50 employees. And so they came out with the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which said, okay, well, you know, even if you have 50 employees, you're going to give your staff 6 weeks of paid sick leave, and government will find some way sometime to pay you back. So don't worry, we'll cover it for you, but, you know, it starts April 1st. So what we saw was virtually all those companies laying off their whole staffs at the end of March, and the biggest unemployment in history. It was very... It was not thought out well by the federal government, because I'm sure that wasn't the result they wanted, but they just didn't understand how small business works. So a lot of those folks were our clients, and they're hanging on, and they're trying to use things like PPP loans and other devices to keep them afloat. Mm-hmm. But what we haven't seen, again, there wasn't a panic. We've seen a small uptick here and there of coronavirus loans and distributions, but participants have been able to stay the course, and that was surprising. Primark Benefits is now a remote company. We have only two people in the office now out of 31 of us. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten used to using Zoom and other computer-aided tools to try and still be a team. And it's worked out really well. Our clients have been getting a whole bunch more communication in this period from us than ever before, and we're very happy that we are, you know, staying the course and having a great year, and, you know, we're able to help everybody, and we're more productive than ever.
So I really appreciate that expression of resilience. You know, that's been a message that I've been putting out, even though it is a really challenging time. And as you know, the focus of this podcast is on women and wealth, and that, as you've said, that retirement portion can be a very key portion of what, in the instance of divorce or loss of a spouse, that retirement plan portion is really key. And so I appreciate that you've talked about ways to access it. It's really important to me that, as an advisor, and I know to you as well, that we also don't lose attention on the long term, since women tend to be more long-lived than the men. And those funds needed to be available now, and then we also have to be sure that they're available for long term. So, Stephen, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm going to ask you one other question, because I love hearing about your congressional testimony and all of that. So, Stephen, one of the things that has always been puzzling to me as an advisor and as I've worked with clients over the years, and then here we come to this required minimum distribution age, why was it set at 70 and a half? Nothing else in life is set at a half year. How did that come to be?
Well, retirement plans became popular in the 60s. And in the early 60s, there was a Speaker of the House named McCormick. And he was handling legislation. The IRS wanted people to start paying required distributions in, you know, when people turned 60 or 61. The industry wanted it to be 80 or 90 or never. And so it was a very contentious issue. And so finally, after lots of debate, Mr. McCormick said, okay, I'll tell you what, I don't want any self-interest in this, so I will set the age of distribution to be mine. So I'm now 70 and a half. So anybody who's 70 and a half or older has to start taking their money out, and everybody else doesn't.
Well, there you have it. Now, of course, it's just been moved to 72. How did 72 get to be the number?
Unfortunately, when you pass a bill in Congress, you have to pay for it. And so what happens is that depending on how much you, every time you raise the age where you start taking, you're lowering tax revenue, and you have to raise tax revenue somewhere. And so you have a negotiation on some, there has to be a loser and a winner. And so we were trying hard to get the age up to age 75, but we couldn't pay for age 75. The best we could do was pay for it, age 72, by eliminating a lot of the stretch IRA, which is a technical way.
Right. Yes, and you and I have had our arguments about that. We will not go into stretch IRA today. Don't worry. We will wrap this up for today. But thank you so much, Stephen, for your input and your knowledge about what has changed this year and what does the consumer have access to. And for the listeners that are small business owners, if you're not aware of these things, be sure to reach out to a retirement plan expert to set up your plan or to take advantage of all these things that are available. Stephen, thank you so much for being here. You have one more thought?
One more thought, and I want to thank you because you provide a vital service to people that have a hard set of decisions to make. I see so many people that have no way of deciding what to do with their finances and their money, and thank God they can find you, and thank God you're so good at it. So thank you for allowing me to be here with you.
Thank you so much, Stephen. We make a good team. Eric, I will turn it back to you.
Well, you guys do make a good team, and I will tell you that Stephen, you have a ton of information. You are a wealth of knowledge. You joked with me earlier before we even started recording that this, you know, some of that bio tells your age. Well, that age has definitely brought wisdom. Thank you so much for being on the show. And with that knowledge comes responsibility. I think that's a quote from a movie, right? With great knowledge comes great responsibility. Anyway, Stephen, if somebody wants to reach out and speak to you directly, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, two ways. One is primarkbenefits.com, P-R-I-M-A-R-K, benefits with an S.com. And there's an app on there where you can send in a question or have us contact you. And then my phone number is 650-692-2043, extension 27.
Fantastic. I appreciate that. And of course, Esther, I'm going to ask you, as people are listening to this, I hope this isn't their very first podcast. Well, no, I'm going to take that back. I hope this is somebody's very first podcast because you've got 50 others that you can go listen to. Esther is a pro at this.
That's right.
And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know what, I would love to talk to both these folks, and I'd like to start with Esther and talk to her and see how this might fit in with a plan and my goals. Esther, how do they get a hold of you?
The best is to use the website also, Gates Pass Advisors. I always say it's Gates like Bill Gates, Pass like Pass Fail, and advisors.com. And there's a contact me button. You can explain more about what you're looking for, and we will just be right there and available to talk to you.
That's awesome. Guys, thank you so much for this podcast. This was fantastic information.
Thank you, Eric. Great to talk to you also.
You bet. And the last thank you always goes to you, the listening audience. Thank you for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thank you for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.